is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Hello, Gloria.
I'm glad you're back, Mr. Cushing.
Any messages?
No.
Did Mrs. Wakefield call?
No, Mr. Cushing. But I have your plane tickets and a long memo of instructions from Mr. Fletcher.
Yeah, well, I'll read it on the plane and then forget it. You have a return flight?
Yes, it's all here. You return 2 weeks from Thursday unless Mr. Fletcher notifies you to stay longer.
Now, wait a minute. Give me that again slowly. 2 weeks?
Mr. Fletcher's orders.
You've got to be kidding.
I didn't think you'd like it.
Like it? The guy's lost his marbles. I can wrap this up before the weekend.
You could wrap it up in this office. I think Mr. Fletcher just wants you to have a nice trip.
See if he's free.
I already did. He left.
Well, get him at his apartment.
Mr. Fletcher left word he doesn't want to be disturbed at home.
Well, that's something new for a guy who's got to talk to me every hour on the hour.
I didn't like it either. Why don't you just cool it, go to Paris? By the time you get back, he'll have forgotten it.
I'll take 50% of that advice, honey. I'll be on that Paris plane tonight, and I'll be back before the weekend.
That's up to you. You have one more appointment this afternoon.
I thought you'd clear the rest of the day.
All but this one. You asked me to make it.
Not my wife.
Mrs. Cushing doesn't usually make appointments.
Well, who is it, Gloria?
Stephen Wolfe.
Oh, no. Brother, what a day this is. Why did you do it, Gloria?
Because the last time he had an appointment with you, you stood him up.
Wolfe isn't very high on my list.
Mine either. I just don't like perjury and bribery and all the other things he was into. That doesn't seem to matter these days. He could be on top of the heap again. He certainly acts it.
I'll see him, Gloria. But not for that reason. Oh, if Mrs. Wakefield should call, put her right through, will you?
Yes, Mr. Cushing. As always.
Come in, Steve. Sit down.
Well, thank you, Tony. So, how have you been?
Well,
you're looking fit, but then you always did. You carry a big job better than any man I know. And it is a big job. Second to the top of a corporation this size.
You learn to roll with the punches.
And someday you'll be the head of it, won't you?
I don't think in terms of someday.
Oh, Tony, don't kid me. We've known each other too long. You were the most ambitious man in this town. Outside of myself.
Once, yes. Now I have what I want, almost.
You want to be head of this company, don't you?
Steve, I'm leaving for Paris tonight. I don't have much time.
But listen, Tony, I'm coming into money soon.
Glad to hear it.
Quite a lot of money. Money buys respectability.
Maybe.
You know damned well it does. It buys anything on earth.
I wish you luck.
And I will be in a position to help you.
Help me?
Against you, Fletcher.
What kind of game are you playing?
I was Hugh's lawyer once, remember? I know a great deal about him. And someday I'll be in a position to topple him just like that. That is, if it's worth it to you.
God, Steve, you never change.
Tony, I've come to you as a friend.
Thanks for nothing, Stephen.
The day may come when you'll need me, as Kate Wakefield does now.
What was that?
I know your interest in Mrs. Wakefield, Tony.
What did you mean, she needs you?
Tony, I was once one of the best lawyers in this country. For the work I did for my clients, I was imprisoned and disbarred. None of those clients stood by me in my hour of hell. But, of course, I still have their private affairs. The secrets a client tells only his lawyer, and they're in my file.
What's all that got to do with Kate?
I was attorney for her late husband, Tom. I saved him from a homicide conviction when his car killed a girl. Surely, Kate told you.
I know he was a drug addict.
I thought a lot of Tom, a tragic young man, and I would like nothing better than to see his lovely young widow happy.
I'm glad to hear that.
But unfortunately, she lives under a cloud. Tom was part of a drug ring.
I know that.
You do?
Kate's told me the whole story. Now it's past. Tom's dead. I want her to forget it.
Well, then, my dear chap, we're on the same side.
I don't follow you.
I want nothing more than to see Kate free of all that. But unfortunately, she doesn't trust me.
Is there any reason she should?
Yes, there is every reason. Tom is dead, but the ring he worked for is still active. Now, I can protect her from all that if she would listen.
The best thing you can do for Kate is to stay away from her.
That's up to Kate, isn't it?
Steve, I intend to take care of that girl.
I repeat, Tony, I've come as a friend. Think it over.
Hazel.
Oh, well, Kate, it's good to have you back here at the Studio Club.
Oh, I'm glad to be back here.
You're back at your job, too?
Oh, yes. So happy to have it. Not that there's anything doing in the real estate business these days, but at least I'm part of it.
You having the blue plate special or just coffee?
What's the blue plate tonight?
Spaghetti and meatballs. Or meatballs and spaghetti. Take your choice.
I'll have the first.
It's hot. Yeah, a lot of people are eating worse tonight.
That's for sure. Hazel, have you seen Jeff around?
No, I haven't. And I'm worried about that boy.
Why, where's he gone?
Oh, he lit out around Christmas. You know how he goes. And he hasn't come back.
Did he take his guitar?
No, he didn't. And that's what bothers me. He told me it's in the hospital.
Oh, that means it's in the music store. He told me he damaged it in some kind of fight.
That boy needs a rudder, all right.
Well, if he didn't take his guitar, he'll be back. You know, just before I left for Maine, he loaned me his tape recorder. I had a tape I wanted to hear. Do you suppose it's still in his room?
Oh, I'm sure it is. He went out of here with just one tote bag. There wasn't even room to stick in the donuts I gave him.
I'll see if I can get Mrs. Link to see if it's in his room. Oh, I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I used it.
Mind? Kate, that boy would be happy if you just breathed on it. Wait a second.
What is it?
Your blue plate goes back in the pot.
Hazel, what are you doing?
Somebody out there in the lobby is looking for you.
Oh, it's Tony. Hold it, Hazel.
I could figure that out for myself.
Tony, what on earth?
Hello, Kate.
I thought you were off to Paris.
I'm on my way to the airport now.
About half an hour out of your way.
Well, I left a little early. I had to see you, Kate.
Well, I'm glad you came.
Got a limousine waiting out there. I thought I'd persuade you to ride out to the airport with me, but I've changed my mind.
No, I'd love to go.
Bad weather. Snow changing the sleet.
Oh, that must have begun since I got home. Will you be all right?
Oh, sure. Big jets go right through it, but you might have trouble getting back.
Oh, I don't mind that.
I do. I don't want to start off this trip worrying about you any more than I do now.
Why are you worrying about
me? Because I can't help it. I think about you all the time. Look, is there any place we can talk?
Not in this lobby. Unless maybe the coffee shop.
Well, it's that or the Blue Mouse. Come on, there's a booth empty. Lord, I'll be glad when you move down to a civilized part of town.
I already ordered the blue plate. You want it?
No, thanks. I want to talk to you. It's a hell of a place to say goodbye. Now, I suppose it's my fault for not calling you, but I didn't know when I'd get through and you didn't call me. Well, I'll only be gone for a few days. We'll make it up. Kate, Stephen Wolfe came to see me today.
Stephen? Why?
He talks as if he's coming into a lot of money soon. How, I don't know. Can't be honest. But he talks like a cat that's just swallowed a canary.
Well, what did he want of you?
I don't trust that guy. I never have. But he talked about you.
What did he say?
Now, don't get that scared look. Darling, I want you to promise me something.
What?
I don't want you to see Stephen Wolfe again. Just refuse. Is that a promise?
I can't promise that, Tony.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Good day, ladies, gentlemen. William Makepeace Thackeray here. Welcome to my latest chapter of Vanity Fair. This day, you will learn why Sir Pitt Crawley is stubbornly ensconced in his sister's parlor, mulishly refusing to depart as she ordered. Instead, with lordly recklessness, he sent Giles upstairs with a rash message.
Tell me, sister, I'm here. I'm inside, and inside I stay till I see Rebecca. Tell Her Majesty, Miss Crawley, I will sit myself in the parlor till doomsday. It is how long it takes.
Miss Becky Sharp now walks into the room. Let it be remarked that she is especially delectable this morning. As Miss Crawley put it, she wears a look as tender as apple blossoms. As for Sir Pitt, he too wears a strange look. His eyes fixed steadfastly upon Miss Sharp. And why, pray, does he close the door?
Why, pray, do you close the door, Sir Pitt?
I have my reasons. Now, miss, I want you back at Queen's Crawley. This time I'll not take no for an answer.
It isn't that I say no, Sir Pitt. I hope to come as soon as ever Miss Crawley is entirely well.
Dammy, you've said that these 3 months, and still you go on hanging on to my sister. She's well enough. We both know she's well enough.
But she doesn't think she's well enough.
Rubbish. Mark my word, she'll fling you off like an old mitten when she's wore you out.
Oh, Sir Pitt, I do truly long to come back to the dear children.
Yeah, never mind the children. Hang it. What about me? I can't get on without you. Dammy, you must come back.
Surely you'd not have me come without your dear sister's permission.
Wouldn't I? My dear sister be hanged. I've fawned on her long enough, I have. I need you more than her. Come back, Becky, and Matilda be damned.
What? You'd defy her?
I would. I do, in high time.
Well, you know full well she'll take you out of her will if you order me to Queen's Crawley.
Need you more than I need her confounded money.
Oh, you'll not feel that way later. I'm very proud you were pleased with my services, but I...
Pleased? There's better words than that for how I feel. You've made a different man of me, Becky. Like a young blade again. Now I can hardly eat for you not there at table with your pretty ways and pretty wiles. Oh, say you'll come, Becky. There are no more excuses, no more lies.
I haven't quite told you the truth, Sir Pitt.
So, what have you kept from me? Out with it.
Well, it's only lately been the truth. I daren't come back now with Lady Crawley gone. I don't think it would be proper to be alone with you.
Proper? So, That's it now. Well, I've the answer to that. I have had it as soon as Lady Crawley breathed her last. Now, hearken to this, Miss Becky Sharp. Come back as Lady Crawley yourself. Come back and be me wife.
Sir Pip!
There now, that satisfy you? You're fit for it, you are. Birth be hanged. You're as good a lady as ever I met with more brains in your little finger than any baronet's wife in the county. Say yes, little Becky. Say yes.
Well, bless me soul. What Becky has yearned for, striven for, vowed to have, now can be hers. A fortune. Not only money, a title. Lady Crawley. Oh, dear listeners, mark you this. Outside the shut parlor door, another listener. Honest, Miss Arabella Briggs, quite by accident, of course, has had eye and ear to the keyhole. She and you will hear a good deal more than already you have heard.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333 PA, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
What thoughts race through Becky's head? Rawdon, of course, Rawdon. But was it not wise Mr. Sedley who remarked with truth that Becky's first love was and always would be money? Yet now, a fortune within her grasp, she hesitates, asks a foolish question to which she knows the answer.
Sir Pitt, what are you saying?
I'm saying I've had two wives that had put a less man than me into his grave. The first, a nag and hatted and fed, drove me out of my senses. The second, milk and water.
Oh, I'll not hear a word against the second Lady Crawley.
What you not hear don't change what was. You'd think I'd be done altogether with wives, eh? No, by God. It's old me now to have a wife that'll make me young again. Whenever you're aside me, me youth comes back whenever you but say me name.
I know
you think me an old man, but I'm a good one, Becky. Good for 20 years. I'll make you happy, see if I don't.
Sir,
I've a name for stinginess, but you have me word. You shall spend what you like, do what you like, have it all your own way. And I'll not fuddle myself with rum every night. I swear it.
Sir,
I'll leave off shabby clothes and dress like a baronet. Just fit for society, if that's what pleases you. Now will you come? Now will you say yes? Matilda's damn money. I've a plenty and to spare, and all of it yours. We live in London in the winter, and you'll furnish the townhouse to suit and dress up Queen's Crawley to your very own taste. You'll have the finest carriage in London and a box at the opera. Lady Crawley will be in next season presented at court. Yes, Becky, yes. You don't answer. Not enough, eh? You'll have it all. Very well, then. Look here.
Sir Pitt!
Down on my knees to you, if that's what you want, along with all else. Now, by God, will you say yes?
Ah, what can be prettier than love on his knees to beauty? At the keyhole, so moved is Miss Briggs by the sight that she streams up the stairs to Miss Crawley with the news.
Matilda! You'll not believe. You're not.
What is it, Arabella?
She always and forever out of breath. Now, will you please, if you've something to say, say it. If not, go elsewhere and pass.
Sir Pitt, Matilda.
Still here, is he?
down on the floor.
Oh, Jimmy. Hasn't had enough of plexus.
No, he may at any moment, I fear.
Drunk. Fell down. No. Becky was right. Nipping at brandy all the way from Queen's Crawley to London.
No, not drunk. Down on his knees, Matilda. A baronet. And he's... Oh, he's what? Proposing marriage to a governess.
Pitt, you are drunk. You've been at the sherry again.
I heard. I saw. Come back as Lady Crawley. He said it. I heard it.
That fool of a brother. Quick, hand me my dressing gown. Becky, what did she answer?
I didn't wait to hear.
Didn't wait? Oh, you are a fool as well.
No need to wait, Matilda. She'd not say yes. She'd not dare.
Whatever, not. Of course she'll say yes. Pitt is no prize, but money, a title. I shan't blame Becky in the least.
Here I'd be on my knees on the carpet and all you can do is bawl. Speak up, girl. Is it yes or no? Will you be my wife? Be Lady Crawley?
Oh, dear Sir Pitt, I can't!
Can't? Well, what's to stop you, my confounded sister?
No.
What the gamut?
I am already married.
Is out, ladies and gentlemen, the secret I craftily kept from you. Last night, with Giles as witness, Miss Rebecca Sharp became Mrs. Rawdon Crawley. Well, now, I dare say I can count on all my listeners tomorrow. Yes, and you may count on your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
The Author's Studio has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Good morning.
You said you'd be down for breakfast in exactly 20 minutes. The scrambled eggs are cold.
Oh, that's all right. Do I detect from the tone of voice that somebody is a little cold towards me right now?
Yes, you detect correctly.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late getting down. I was all dressed and I couldn't find my wallet. I looked all over and discovered I'd left it on the telephone stand in the hall last night when I paid the paper boy.
Well, I don't care if you want to eat cold scrambled eggs. That's all right with me.
What are you mad about?
Mad at all. I'm disgusted with you.
What'll I do now?
Oh, really? As if you didn't know. Here's your toast.
No, I don't know.
I was up until midnight. scrubbing the floor of our front hall coat closet. I scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed. When I came downstairs this morning, that oily, fishy salmon smell is still there. Heaven knows it'll never go away.
What, are you blaming me for that?
Yes, I am.
Did you or did you not say to me a month ago, now if anything is delivered, don't open it?
I assumed you would look at it and assume it was a Christmas present if it said the name of a store.
I did assume it was a Christmas present. I remembered you'd said, don't open anything, just put it in the closet.
Aren't you the one who ordered the smoked salmon for our Christmas party?
Yes, yes, the point
aren't
is
aren't you the one who kept fussing and fussing because it hadn't arrived?
Yeah, but I
then
don't...
Then don't you think it's a little peculiar you wouldn't have looked at the box when it arrived? Hoping at long last it was your smoked salmon.
I told you I assumed it was a Christmas present because you said that
I
when...
I know what I said, dear. Well, let's not go on and on about all that.
I don't know why we're discussing it again at all. Having bawled out the seafood company for not sending it, now I'm the one who has to write and explain what happened. I'm the one who was mad because I thought it hadn't been sent.
Shall we come directly to the point, sir? The reason you didn't see that it was the smoked salmon was because you couldn't see it. The return address was in small print. The hall was dark.
Are you going to start that again?
You need glasses.
I do not need glasses. Where's my coffee?
I'm sorry, I had to reheat it. Just a second.
I may be late getting home tonight. I have a meeting.
All right.
If Debbie wants a ride to school, she better get down here and eat her breakfast.
She's eaten. She went back upstairs to study until you were ready to leave.
Where's Aunt Maggie?
She had breakfast with me. She went back upstairs to make her bed. Honey, why are you so stubborn?
I do not need glasses.
You do.
Look, they're my eyes. I think I should know whether I need glasses or not. I have 20/20 vision. Always have had.
People's eyes change.
Mine don't.
You're an exception to the whole human race?
I guess so.
Millions and millions of people wear glasses, dear.
You want to put in some more toast for me, please?
The president wears glasses. Movie stars wear glasses. Emperor of Japan wears glasses. Children wear glasses.
Is there any marmalade?
Yes, I'll get it. What is this thing you have about not wearing them?
Well, I don't need them. Why should I wear them?
So you can see. So you can watch television. Without hitching your chair up closer to the set?
Oh.
So you can look up a phone number without asking me to do it?
When? When have I ever done that?
Honey, every time you need to know a number, you say to me, oh, so casually, dear, look up so-and-so, will you? I'll be right there. Or else you ask me because, as you put it, I'm closer to the phone book.
You know, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Dear.
It is. No.
Wearing glasses has nothing to do with age.
Well, who said it did?
Well, there must be some reason that you're so stubborn. Honey, you're in business. What if somebody important hands you something to read sometime and you can't make it out?
For Pete's sake, I can read. I read magazines, books, the newspaper, and...
You're squinting when you do it, too.
Oh, squinting. What
squinting.
Is that?
Squinting. And you're getting little wrinkles between your eyebrows, too, from doing it right here.
Wrinkles?
Wrinkles. That's what happens when you pinch your eyes together when you're squinting.
Look, Peg, can I enjoy my breakfast in peace?
Sure. I just meant it wouldn't do any harm to make an appointment with an eye doctor. And make sure you don't need glasses.
I'm not making any appointment. Anyhow, I don't have time.
What's the matter?
Yeah, don't you care at all about your most precious possessions? Make an appointment.
I don't need one, and I don't want one. And, Debbie, if you're getting a ride with me, get ready.
Well, what are you quarreling about? Are you guys getting a divorce?
Oh, divorce. I want him to get glasses.
My goodness, what is he storming around about? He nearly knocked me down tearing up the stairs.
I think he should get his eyes examined. He's furious, Aunt Maggie.
Well, why should he get furious about that?
I think he has some notion that it means he's growing old.
That's silly. A lot of my friends wear glasses.
Well, I've worn glasses for years, and I certainly don't think I'm on my last leg. At least I hope not.
Daddy doesn't even have any gray hair.
No. Well, I saw one last week. I think I made a big mistake pointing it out to
him. Well, I don't suppose I should put in my 2 cents worth, but I agree with you. I think he needs glasses, too. He was reading the paper the other night. He kept pulling it up to him and holding it out at arm's length, the way you do when you can't read something.
Yeah.
Finally, he gave up and turned on the TV.
Yeah. He went upstairs?
Yes, in a rage.
Well, I better go calm him down before he goes to work, I guess.
Peg! Can you come up here right away?
Yes, I'm coming! What now? I thought something was the matter the way you yelled, come up here right away.
No, nothing's the matter. It's just that I'm late to work and I wanted to apologize. You're right. I think I do need glasses.
Oh, well, why did you make such a fuss about it, honey?
I know. My eyes have always been perfect. I've been telling myself that I'm just tired or something. I mean, all my life I've been able to read print that was so tiny, and everybody would say, how can you read that? I can't even with glasses.
I know.
Now, suddenly, well, for example, if I'm on a phone and the operator says, what number are you calling from? I can't even read those big numbers. I rear back and I squint and I can't even read them.
Well, the phone numbers aren't always that big either, dear. I mean, that's, you know,
it's just vanity, isn't it?
Well, you've got a right to be vain. You're a handsome man. Now, look, they have hundreds of different styles of frames these days. Lots of them are terribly attractive.
Oh, I don't mind wearing glasses. It just makes me mad that my eyes just ain't what they used to be. I'll make an appointment today.
I'll do it right now. I know you. Now, just hold on. Where's the phone book up here? It's on the dresser. Just a minute now.
You know a good eye doctor?
Sure, Dr. Vero. Remember when I had that eye infection? Oh, I've got the number in my dress book. Whatever that is. Oh, yes, I've got it on the telephone list here.
Around 2 o'clock might be a good time.
Good time for what?
To see the eye doctor.
You mean today?
Yeah. If I'm going, I might as well go and get it over with.
Oh, well, dear, I don't know if you can get an appointment today.
Well, I might as well go today.
Well, I'll do what I can. You know, the doctors are all pretty busy these days.
Well, they must save time for emergencies.
Well, you're not exactly an emergency, you know. Dr. Barrow's office. Hello, this is Mrs. Robert Baxter, and I'd like to make an appointment for my husband to get his eyes examined for possible glasses. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Dr. Barrow's office. Would you hold the line one moment, please? I'll be right with you.
Oh, I tell you, now I'll probably be kept waiting 10 minutes and then cut off entirely. You know, it's usually...
Daddy, I'm going to be late to school. Are you coming?
Be right there, Debbie. Look, I'll have Miss Perkins phone from the office.
Well, I... Hello, Dr. Barrett's office. Sorry to keep you waiting.
This is Mrs. Robert Baxter. I'd like to make an appointment for my husband to get his eyes examined for possible glasses.
What was the name?
Baxter. Robert Baxter.
One moment, please.
Yes, Shirley.
Peg.
Yes?
The milkman is here.
Oh, I'll be right down, Aunt Maggie. I'm trying to get an appointment. For Bob with the eye doctor?
Well, it's about time, the way you've been squinting. But don't worry, you'll get used to bifocals in no time.
I'm not getting bifocals. I'm just getting some reading glasses.
Uh-huh.
Hello? We can't take Mr. Baxter Thursday, April 17th at 4:30.
Thursday, April 17th at 4:30.
April? Please. What do they mean, April?
Can't you take him before April?
I'm afraid not. We may have cancellations, and in that case,
yes,
I will call you.
Okay.
Otherwise, the best we can do is April 17th at 4:30.
Thank you. I'll keep in touch. Well, they may have cancellations. They usually do, and then she'll get in touch.
April, for Pete's sake, I'm ready to go today.
Well, you're impossible, isn't he, Maggie? 20 minutes ago, you're serious at the thought of needing glasses. Now you can't wait to get them.
What am I going to do until April?
You can borrow my glasses. I've got a spare set.
You know something? I may do just that.
Daddy, I'm going to be late to school.
Oh, I'm coming. Well, goodbye, everybody.
Dear.
I'll see you tonight.
The milkman is downstairs waiting.
The milkman waiting. Oh, gosh, the start of another day.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Breakfast, Mother.
Good morning, love.
Good morning. I know how Robert hikes us all in our places with bright, shining faces.
I will say you were missed, dear.
Oh, don't tell me Lynn and Kurt have come and gone. That coffee cake looks good.
Oh, would you like a piece, Anne?
In just looking, thank you.
Ah, I will have coffee, though. Well, Lynn went into town with her father, and I think Kurt is either sleeping or out on the river slope doing a bit of skiing.
I'll bet he's still asleep.
Oh, poor Kurt. Everyone's so critical of him.
Sleeping late is hardly a major crime.
I don't think Robert would agree with you.
Mother, the sooner Lynn and Kurt can get out from under the parental roof, the better for them.
Now, Anne, as soon as Kurt finds something.
It's too bad the Swiss franchise thing fell through. Mother, what's he really qualified to do?
I really don't know, Anne. Oh, what's on your schedule for today?
I thought I'd stop off at Jefferson, maybe have lunch with Jason.
Would you do a little, investigating for me?
As long as it's legal.
Well, find out how I can do something, anything, for Dr. Gonzalez.
Mother, I don't think you can.
Well, so I've heard. He's proud and sensitive, and he takes exception to being thanked for saving Jennifer.
I imagine he's had his fill of it. You know, when I mentioned it to him, he almost dismissed
it. Oh, how can he? He knows what Jennifer means to us all.
Well, he said that saving her after she almost drowned was what he had been trained to do. That the circumstances made it dramatic, and that's all.
Now, I know. Now, what do you think we could do?
Forget it.
Any suggestions would be welcome.
Well, he said while he was glad that Jennifer will have a chance to live out a healthy life, there are many children who are drowning in other very undramatic ways. And no one is saving them.
I see. He's right, of course.
Well, maybe if there's a way to help.
Yes, those other children. Well, I could give a donation in his name to one of the charities for children.
Oh, I wouldn't if I were you. Mm-hmm. Now, just give it, Mother. Don't let Joe Gonzalez think you're doing it for him.
I suppose you're right.
You know, you might help establish a storefront neighborhood clinic. Now, maybe that would be something Joe could accept. One of your clubs could...
Well, that's so much responsibility, Anne.
Yes, isn't it?
And how do you know Dr. Gonzalez would want something like that?
I don't. But we could find out. Joe... Something has got to be done.
All right, but you're talking to the wrong doctor, Angela. I'm going to have some more coffee. You want some?
Oh, yes, half a cup. You're working with Marsh Foster. You know Emily's case.
But I am not your sister's doctor. The only reason I became involved with the Carter family is because of Jennifer.
Well, that's being involved, then.
I say that's pushing it, Angela.
Look, I don't care what reason you give yourself for it. You have to admit you're the only doctor outside of Marsh who knows the case.
What about Jason?
Now, he's her husband.
Talk to him.
Now, do you think I haven't tried?
Well, I'm sure Dr. Foster has talked to Dr. Szabo.
Yes, the uncommunicative Dr. Szabo.
How is Emily now?
I haven't seen her today. I'm back in my own apartment. Mm. We're having lunch today, though.
And how is Jennifer?
Oh, she's just fine. She and Emily and her grandfather are going to the zoo this morning.
Oh, they're such a happy family.
Or will be when Emily finds out what's wrong with her. Joe, what do you think it is?
I don't know. We just couldn't find a thing when she was in here for tests.
Well, no matter what it is,
I'm sure not knowing is the worst part of it.
Well, I wouldn't be too sure.
Joe!
Well, I don't know what's the matter with your sister, Angela, and that's the truth.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Then why do you say Emily might not want to know what's wrong with her?
Angela, I didn't say that. All I meant was that some people don't want to know. They can't handle it.
But that's only when it is very serious. Isn't that what you mean?
Well, it could be.
You think there is something very wrong?
I didn't say that.
Well, that certainly would account for it.
Account for what?
All the evasion. Jason and Marge, they both find excuses why Szabo hasn't gotten back to them with a diagnosis.
Well, maybe he just hasn't gotten to it yet.
And maybe he has. Maybe all the time I thought Jason was worried because he was afraid of what Szabo would tell him. Maybe Zabo's already told him.
Jason would have told Emily.
Would he, Joe?
Emily has always insisted she wanted to know.
Yes,
well,
I
then
know.
Maybe Jason might not have wanted to tell Emily for some other good reason.
Then you do think it's serious. But if it is, how can he put off telling her?
Well, while Jennifer was in danger, Jason and Emily were concentrated on her.
Oh, yes, that's right. When did Jason see Szabo?
Oh, I don't remember, Angela.
Oh, I know. It was after he got back from Brixton, mm-hmm. and before we went up to the cabin for Thanksgiving, wasn't it?
Yes, and Jennifer had her accident then.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to see Emily at lunch today.
What are you going to say?
I don't know.
You'd better leave that to Dr. Foster.
I'll see him after lunch. He has to do something if he hasn't already heard from Szabo.
Well, am I breaking up a medical conference or a coffee date?
Neither one, Anne. Oh, have you met Dr. Gonzalez?
Yes, we met.
Yeah, it was my pleasure, Anne.
I've got to get back upstairs, Anne. Oh, by the way, have you seen Jason?
I was just looking for him.
We had a great New Year's Day out at River Run, as always.
Yes, Joe here doesn't know what he missed.
I'll see you later.
Bye.
Am I keeping you from something, Joe?
No. Do I have that look?
I always think of doctors as being so busy.
Oh, we are. But we do have time for coffee. May I?
Yes, please. I'm sorry you weren't out at River Run on New Year's Day.
I was at Jefferson. We always have a great open house on New Year's Day ourselves in the emergency room. There's assorted bruises and contusions, a few fractures, a sprinkling of hangovers, mostly among the staff.
You make it sound like fun.
It's work. Good work, and I guess that's fun.
Oh, Mother sent her best wishes and an invitation to dinner next week.
Oh, that's very kind of her, but I'm on evening duty all next week.
The week after?
Well, my schedule hasn't been posted yet, Anne, so I really don't know.
Well, how about tonight?
Well, I have...
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Look, will you promise to let us know when you can come to dinner?
No, I'd rather not.
Well, that's telling me.
I would like to take you to dinner tomorrow evening, if you're free, Anne.
What?
And I thought my English was so good.
Oh, it is, Joe. It is.
Well, if you're busy tomorrow night, we could make it the next night.
No, tomorrow night is fine.
Good, that's settled then. Do you like Mexican food? real Mexican food?
Well, I don't know if I've ever had any real Mexican food.
Well, then you haven't. That is something about which there is no doubt.
I see. Tell me, Joe, do you always try your dates out on Mexican food first to see if they qualify?
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I always do. I would not wish to spoil the surprise.
Oh.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Mist Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Mist Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
To Have and to Hold features William Redfield as Marsh, Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, and Joyce Gordon as Emily. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Mary Dornheim, associate producer Dale Stewart. And brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.